WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hamas appears to be over. Israel pounding parts of Gaza with airstrikes overnight. That's a scene near a hospital after the attacks. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says more than 400 Palestinians were killed. Israel says Hamas did not agree to extend the terms of the first phase of the ceasefire as Israel wanted. President Trump will talk with Russian President Vladimir Putin on the phone this morning about a possible ceasefire in Ukraine. The Fed kicks off its two-day meeting today.
The Federal Reserve is expected to hold interest rates steady at around 4.5%, despite encouraging news on inflation and amid concerns tariffs could cause a recession. The Fed had lowered interest rates in 2024, though signaled a slowdown in rate cuts this year. After Wednesday, the Fed's next chance to change interest rates will be early May. Christiane Cordero, ABC News, Washington.
Today, President Trump will release the entire government file related to the assassination of JFK. This is ABC News. Jury selection begins today for Nadine Menendez's fraud and bribery charge. The wife of former Senator Bob Menendez accused of conspiring to accept gold bars or Mercedes and other gifts totaling hundreds of thousands of dollars in exchange for her husband helping businessmen from Egypt and Qatar. New evacuation orders put in place in Oklahoma, where wildfires spreading across the plains have killed at least four people and burned hundreds of homes. Another legendary singer-songwriter makes his way to Broadway.
Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
Joining Alicia Keys, Dolly Parton, and Neil Diamond as musical icons turning their songs into Broadway stage musicals, James Taylor. A show titled Fire and Rain was announced Monday. It's in development. Fire and Rain was released as a single in 1970 from Taylor's second album, Sweet Baby James. It peaked at number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
That's ABC's Chuck Sievertson. The show being workshopped and no preview dates have been set. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Hi friends, it's Kim from Vintage Roast Bakery and Sandwich Shop. We offer from scratch baked goods and specialty drinks, full breakfast and lunch menus with online ordering, dining area, and a drive-up, and catering. At Vintage Roast, we insist on using the freshest, highest quality ingredients, and our breads are made and baked right here daily in-house. We're easy to find, just off the Schering Road exit in West De Pere, and we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 6 a.m. until 2 p.m. Check us out at VintageRoastBakery.com. We sure would love to see you.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
A setback for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks' backup center, Jericho Sims, will be out for at least a month. Sims had surgery yesterday in New York after suffering torn ligaments in his right thumb. It happened early Saturday night against the Pacers. Sims, after the game, his right hand all taped up.
It happened the first few seconds I was in. I got caught on another player when I was cutting him off. Physical is just boxing out. I mean, that's something that we usually are good at, but, you know, it's certain teams we tend to struggle with.
The Bucks open a 5-game road trip tonight against Golden State. March Madness, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Denver for their game Thursday afternoon against Montana. Marquette will face New Mexico in Cleveland on Friday night. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Padres 14-8 out in Arizona. Infielder Bryce Terang sitting out with a sore shoulder. For now, it looks like Joey Ortiz will start at shortstop on opening day. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The late Gene Hackman did not mention his three children in his will, but they might still end up with some of his $80 million worth of assets. Hackman and his wife, Betsy Arakawa, passed away in late February under mysterious circumstances. Late last week, it was disclosed that Arakawa passed away from the hantavirus a week before her Oscar-winning husband. Authorities say Hackman suffered from Alzheimer's disease and couldn't take care of himself after his wife died, and as a result, passed away a week later. In Betsy's will, it was stated that she left her estate to various charities. Hackman, however, named Betsy as the recipient of his assets, essentially leaving his three now middle-aged children out in the cold, or so it would seem. As it turns out, due to Betsy's death, Hackman has no secondary beneficiaries, so it looks like his kids will be the recipient of their father's $80 million fortune after all. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlife with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We are tracking a winter storm system that will bring rain tonight through tomorrow. The rain will change to snow tomorrow night, and that could give us 2 to 3, maybe up to 4 inches of accumulation by Thursday morning. Today, though, partly to mostly cloudy, overall mostly cloudy, with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, turns out Republicans aren't the only ones who don't want to hear from their constituents. Runaway, runaway. Join us.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. 97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here. Good luck at Tuesday morning, 38 in Green Bay, 41 and a half, 1039. Oshkosh. Forecast today, mostly cloudy, high of 51. Coming your way at 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM, WISS, of course, worldwide. On the Civic Media app and AM 5090 and 1100. Correct. Thank you.
Nicely done.
Been doing this show for almost 2 years.
That's awesome.
And up until a couple of days ago, every single morning, I would have to turn like this and look and see what the frequency was on that sign right there. So I've finally learned after 2 years. I can name every quarterback that's ever played. Hey, Todd, but I can't remember our frequency.
Right. That's right.
Special thanks to Dan Brick for joining us. Brickstead Dairy Farms. We're going to be bringing him on some more down the road with some great events he's going to be doing. And, of course, being the sponsor of the new Midwest Farm Report, which is awesome. Joining us right now, a familiar face that we love having coming through the doors, Beth Kowalski, Neville Public Museum. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Every time you come here, it's like, I got to go see that. I want to go see that. I want to go see that. But you guys got just great things going. And you guys are a little geeked about the draft as well,
yes,
correct?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
So we have a brand new photography exhibit that highlights the Otto Stiller, Hank LaFave, and the Green Bay Press Gazette collection.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, that's cool. By the way, I didn't mention Vanessa Moran, our very special co-host.
You know, it's all right. It's
taking
all right.
The place of Captain Stubing.
Yeah. Who is on his way back right now in a helicopter.
An international incident.
Yes, yeah. That shuffleboard incident. Yes. So when he gets here, I'm out.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, I'll keep the seat warm.
Right, exactly. All right. You ever been to the Neville? It's phenomenal.
I absolutely have. Used to take field trips there.
Oh, yeah. It's
yeah,
great.
You can't beat it.
No.
And that mammoth exhibit is fantastic.
We were talking about Stompy, our beloved mastodon. And still a main feature.
Yeah. What's the deal with that now?
Because
last time here, we talked about that.
We talked about, so leading up to the draft, obviously, we wanted to do a couple different things. So we have a photography exhibit that is on our first floor community room that looks at our massive photography collection. We have over 1 million negatives and about 4 million feet of film. So
is it all PAC related or just Green Bay City related? Or
kind of combination. Our job is community. So we look through the photographer's lens, literally, through like what it looked like for the community. So it is Packer stories, Rockwood Lodge, early players, but all the way, but Packer's influence within the community.
Okay, cool.
That's amazing. I can't wait to see it.
Now, let me ask you, I bought a bunch at a garage sale one time, probably 30 years ago, more than that. It'd be like mid-80s, okay? And a bunch of them are the old Packer-type pictures. There's some Stillers and some other, any value to those?
Absolutely. Because again, it's our local photography. Definitely. They were probably copies of things. But
some of these are originals.
Okay.
Because they've got the still sticker on the back, stamped on the back. And another one, Lefebvre?
LaFave. Yep.
That's stamped on the back. So is there any value?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like thousands?
Not thousands,
hundreds,
but you know.
Tens.
Enough to buy another one of the whiskey.
Yeah.
Not the prices
they
are going up.
Pint of Jack Daniel's.
A pint of Jack Daniel's.
They were $18.
First birthday yesterday. Yes. So there you go. You can get another pint.
Exactly. So you bring your kids there when you were a teacher?
I absolutely did. Yeah, it was one of the favorite places to go for field trips.
Like, what would be their favorite?
Oh, it was definitely the, is it a mastodon or a mammoth?
Mastodon.
For sure. When that, with the stomping and the noises, and it was, back in the day, it was just like, I believe it was motion censored?
Yes, yes. Okay. So definitely. So it's, it makes a sound as you walk past it. And so it's, again, Stompy's our beloved mascot that appears on a lot of different things. But still, when we did the renovation, that was, Stompy would like to say, you got a spa day. We really, really enhanced.
Really?
Yep, yep. A lot of people like to pet him.
Yeah.
So yeah, we definitely helped him out and got some, you know, New fur.
He had a toupee.
Yep. You
know. That's cool. What is there
hair
a
transplant
bracket? I mean, when you guys sit around, okay, now you gotta, I told you this once before. I applied for the job as director of the Neville. Remember I told you that?
Yes.
Did you know that, Todd?
Yeah.
Like 20 years ago?
Yeah, several times.
I didn't get a call back.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you're doing a fine job too.
Thank you.
is there a how do I put a demographic, an age, an interest type thing? When you guys sit around and say, what type of displays do we want? Where do you guys go with that?
So our job is to bridge communities and connect generations. So everything that we do is about bridging and connecting. Okay. And so we look at our generations and our family audience. Definitely we have everybody from, you know, retirees all the way down to wee littles. So again, when we do our information surveys, dinosaurs, Legos all come top, history, science, and art. So we put that kind of in a rubric. Local history is on our second floor. And then we work with a lot of contemporary art partners. And then we bring in traveling exhibits such as dinosaurs, since we don't have dinosaurs here in, you know, Green Bay.
How big was the dinosaurs?
Oh, gosh. Well, it was a full semi worth of crates that are in our stuck in our loading dock right now. So it's a maze because each they're all articulated fossil specimens. So they had to be put back together, basically. And so, yes, the biggest one is a Nanosaurus, and that is probably, I don't know, longer than a car length.
Wow. Todd, see, that would have been a perfect job for me assembling those. So I would have undone every one of the boxes, crates, and taken, then kind of put them up. Then I say, oh crap, was that vertebrae part?
Right,
of,
right.
And then,
and Beth, every display you had up would be duct taped and super glued. Right, yeah. That's what would have happened.
It could have happened. When you're a teacher, when you deal with things like that, what a resource something like this is, huh?
Oh, absolutely. There's so many great places we can take our kids, thanks to the hard work and the efforts of people like you. Because honestly, like, getting them out of the classroom and getting to experience some of those things,
you
some
will of them remember will only, those more the, than anything.
Some absolutely, and for some of those children, the only time they are going to get those experiences is during the school day.
Yep,
and that's no one's fault. It's, you know, if you're working third shift or second shift, or just don't have the resources or whatever the case may be. But to be able to provide them, you know,
we didn't have one where I was, but you know what we had that was cool, and I still wish they had one around here, a planetarium.
Oh,
wasn't that fun when you go to the planetarium?
Yeah, definitely.
There's the one down in Oshkosh. I can't think of the name of it. It's not a planetarium, though.
The Bartlow?
The Barlow. Barlow.
Oh, is that there? I didn't
place
know that.
Is really neat. Yeah, the exhibits, or the exhibit, like the whole top of it turns into
where the sky comes to life.
Yes, I know. Yes, and then you can travel through a black hole. It's just so much fun. It's such a great place to
love that kind of stuff. That's got to be fun for you doing this, isn't
it?
Because, I mean, you're creating, but you're bringing these resources to the community that they wouldn't have any other opportunity.
Yeah, most people don't know we have the vast collection that we do. So between, you know, like, again, the film, the photography, the resources to bring in a traveling dinosaur exhibit, to have even scholarships to fund schools. We have scholarships that fund every school that can possibly want to come to us, which is awesome. So it's, again, those resources that are part of the community.
Beth Kowalski, Neville Public Museum, extended hours and ongoing events.
Yes, absolutely. So next week is spring break week for a lot of our school districts. Mm-hmm. So we will have extra hours. We will be open Monday. We'll have extra hours on Tuesday and our standard hours the rest of the week. But we hope that people stay local and participate and come on and visit.
I was thinking about some when you were talking about the pictures. I actually, when I wrote my first book, by the way, are you guys going to carry my books in your gift shop kind of thing? Would you do that? Okay, great. So anyway, I mean,
Local history.
I interviewed a guy about whose brother or somebody was in World War II, a bomber. It's called Miss Green Bay. And I said, oh, do you have any pictures? He said, no. He goes, but I think the Neville Public Museum does. So I contacted them, and they searched and searched and searched. And sure enough, they found the one picture there is of Miss Green Bay. And there will never be another one because, unfortunately, with a lot of those, they were just scrap, you know, at the end of the war. They just send right to these. Yeah. Oh. So there are no other pictures of Miss Green Bay. And it's really cool. And it's actually in my book. But you guys have the only original copy.
Good.
Which is kind of cool, isn't it?
We, again, every day it surprises me.
And how they found that.
I don't.
You know what I mean?
Well, we have an index, but it's a lot of negatives.
Well, is there a place people can go online to look for stuff like
we
that?
We have a handful online. So it's more the more popular collection. So if you wanted to search Washington Street or on Broadway or parades or Packers. So we definitely have a selection online, but we're never going to be caught up.
No.
There's no way.
I would love to see your storage room.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm like, what does it look like? What is it? I mean, from a physical standpoint.
It's a very large space. It's about, 12,000 square feet, if not more.
Where? In the basement?
Yeah, it's up. So we're in the floodplain. Well, we were in the floodplain, no longer in the floodplain, but still too close. So nothing goes down. Everything goes up. We're, it's on the top floor of the museum. So you're welcome to do, I do behind the scenes tours all the time.
Whoa.
And would love that.
Yep. Would love to have you there because again, it is all, everything has a place. Everything has a location.
Okay. That just reminded me of something though. And I know we've talked about this before. You and I have talked about this. And Todd, who's always looking for new places to explore for paranormal activity. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
The number one place I keep saying you got to explore is the oldest house in the state of Wisconsin. Okay.
All right.
The oldest inhabited house in the state of Wisconsin. It's in Suamico. And it started out as a fur trading place. Okay.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And then it became an army post. And the army guys were there to protect the people working in the quarry and the lumber guys and everything like that. So the guys were really, you know, it was really nothing else around here. Okay. So they'd get a whiskey ration every week. Well, the guys caused problems, yada, 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 yada. The captain cut off their whiskey supply for 2 weeks. One of the guys was so mad, he ambushed him on the porch of this house and shot him and killed him. Okay. That captain's uniform is where?
Is at the museum. It's on the second floor.
Really?
Yep. Amos Foster. Amos Foster unfortunately lost his life to one of his men. And we have his frock coat, which again is a really, really unique time in military history because Wisconsin was a frontier.
Yep.
And men signed up thinking, oh, this is going to be great. But really, they were protecting, doing infrastructure, boring. And then they got.
And really then they isolated.
Got an alcohol. Then they got a little rowdy.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's got the actual uniform.
This house.
Okay, let me finish this. So I was doing a story with the owner of the house. Les Rentmeester was his name. Lester. He's in one of my books. He was a bomber pilot as well in World War II. Okay? And he had a nice little museum in his garage. I don't know if you were ever there.
It was
really cool. And his wife's great-great-great-grandfather was Chief Toma. I mean, it's just unbelievable history here at his place. Okay? So I was interviewing him before he died. He died at like 97 years old. I remember he died right during the COVID. But anyway, so I was doing a story with him. And we're in the parlor, which was the only undertaker's place, only funeral home type thing in all of Green Bay. We were doing the interview. My photographer says, oh, Les, somebody's at the door. Because we heard, and I'm not lying about this. I go, yep, I heard it too. He goes, well, I didn't hear anything. And I turned to my photo. Did you hear it? He goes, yeah, it's on the porch. We look. We go out. There had been fresh snow. There were no footprints. And I'm not lying. And I could get my photographer on the air.
All right. Well,
that is no lie.
I think we're coming to the Neville is what he's trying to say.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You're welcome all the time.
Can you stick around, Beth?
Yes.
Beth Kowalski, Neville Public Museum. More right after this.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Hi friends, it's Kim from Vintage Rose Bakery and Sandwich Shop. We offer from scratch baked goods and specialty drinks, full breakfast and lunch menus with online ordering, dining area, and a drive-up, and catering. At Vintage Rose, we insist on using the freshest, highest quality ingredients, and our breads are made and baked right here daily in-house. We're easy to find, just off the Schering Road exit in West De Pere, and we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 6 a.m. until 2 p.m. Check us out at VintageRoseBakery.com. We sure would love to see you.
Hey, it's Amanda with another new Wisco 411 for you, and there's no better way to celebrate spring than with the maple syrup season. And you can do that at the Bubbles Nature Preserve for Maple Syrup Saturday. Help yourself to a pancake breakfast made by the staff and volunteers, and take your support for the preserve to the next level. Adopt a bucket. Each family who adopts a bucket will join the preserve to tap your own maple tree and hang your bucket to collect throughout the entire season. So go to WGBW.FM, click events to learn more.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I got a text there. Barlow Planetarium is in Menasha.
Menasha, that's
UW
right.
UW Oshkosh Fox Valley.
Thank you.
And unfortunately, that facility is closing this year. They're closing the Fox Valley location of UW Oshkosh.
Right.
So I'm not sure if the planetarium's going to be around much longer.
Well, get there while you can. Here.
I guess.
Yes, get there while you can. Don't miss it.
Wow. We've got Vanessa Moran filling in for Captain Jim today. And we've got Beth Kowalski, Neville Public Museum. Beth, when you go and walk through your place, okay, and you look at stuff, what if you were Vanessa or me or Todd or somebody, okay, that hadn't, I mean, we've all been there, but it's like, what would you think would be the most fun part to spend time in?
Oh, well, obviously collection storage, which is not an everyday occurrence, right?
I'm not even kidding. So, can we come over and see this?
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm in. You in?
Yeah,
right.
I'm in.
Because Todd, you in?
Yes.
That with this ghost equipment.
It is just such a unique that we're able to store everything on site, right? But when we renovated the core gallery a handful of years ago, we have some things that are just super unique to just Green Bay. We have a wooden monowheel, a wooden bicycle from like the Civil War era that...
I've never seen that.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Is that in storage or on
display?
No,
it's out. It has its own case. It's a very unique story to it. Of early collector Frank Duchateau found it somehow. Acquired it, and we've been able to restore it, but it has its own. But the Smithsonian doesn't even have one. So, So here in Green Bay, yes, we had it conserved, and a former conservator from the Smithsonian stopped by, took a day out from his trip out west, and I was like, oh, so what is it? How does this compare to the one that you would have worked on? He's like, that's why I'm here, Beth. The Smithsonian doesn't even have one. So early collectors, early sites. So that's pretty cool. And then, of course, tying into Fort Howard. Which military Fort Howard, we have the fire pump that was acquired by the U.S. Army. So Old Croc is also
cool.
So and was gifted to, well, the city bought it and then the city gifted it to the museum early on. But the start of the Green Bay Fire Department. So,
you know, we last week we did our show in Oshkosh Wednesday.
Yep.
And we went to the law offices.
Yeah. Nate Olson Legal Group down there.
Who sponsors our veteran segment on the show every week. He says, when we're talking about how in Oshkosh, I love downtown Oshkosh because they've kept so many of those really, really old buildings. And instead of, you know, tearing them down or doing whatever, they've really restored them. They're
beautiful.
They're fantastic. I love those old buildings. But anyway, he says, hey, I know you're into that. He says, you want to come see my office? And at first we're like, sure. Because it was originally like the first fire station in Oshkosh.
Oh, very cool.
I'm like, okay. And we went in, and they've got all the original old pictures with the guys where they're still using horses and
put the stuff.
And they, now one thing he's trying to do, he's trying to get a lock, so they left a big safe in there. They have no idea what's in there. So we want to do almost like a live remote type thing on the air, trying to open that thing. But also they left a bunch of other equipment, like their axes and their helmets and different things. I mean, that old firefighting stuff is really cool.
It is very, very cool. So I'll put a plug in for David Siegel, former, you know, fire department chief, I believe. Captain. And has a book out, very, you know, used a lot of the Neville collection and very, very well helped us understand the history of Green Bay firefighting.
Is that one in your
gift shop?
Yep. Just like Mino's book.
Yep.
Yeah, not yet, but it will be.
Hey, Beth, I don't know if you can speak to this, but I saw this on your site, and it kind of ties into Mino because he likes geology.
Yes.
I know tonight you've got a geology club meeting, so things like that also take place at the Neville Museum.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. So we have an astronomy society that meets. We have an international film club as well as a geology club. So we have multiple activities happening throughout the course of the month.
Yep. I was one. You know, my favorite one of my favorite gifts was when I was like about 10.
Quartz. Piece of quartz.
Nope.
Amethyst.
Nope.
Rock hammer?
Yes!
Oh, there you go.
Nice job, Beth. You
I was so excited when I got a rock hammer. I was like, what's his name? Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption.
Wow.
Remember he dug his way out of the whole prison using that rock hammer?
Yep. I was thinking you were more like Yukon Cornelius and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You know, when he throws the thing up and it goes in the ground and he licks it to see if it's got gold or silver on it. Come on. Nobody?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody. Really? You're on your own.
Yukon Cornelius?
Beep. You're on your own. Yeah.
All right. Beep. Thank you.
You know, Beth, one of the things that I have always wondered about with the museum, and this is coming from an educator's perspective, how do we teach kids about the jobs that are available for, you know, this field? How would you know?
Job shadowing. It's, you know, we have so many different degrees, but even today I have a student coming in from De Pere High School that I will be taking through the museum and sharing everything that we do. It's a love of either science or history, and it's just having those pathways and being open and exploring and letting kiddos and counselors and schools know that we're here and available. And we do a lot of internships, and we take volunteers from high school all the way up. And every summer, we have two UW Green Bay interns right now. Last summer, we had interns from UW Milwaukee, Eau Claire, Madison, and Green Bay, and St. Norbert.
Dude, is there a degree you can get in this?
Yes. Yes. Okay. There's museum study certificates. UW-Milwaukee has it's a public history program, and it's a master's degree. So you can basically, it depends on what you're interested in. There's some historic preservation degrees out there, too.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that. I'm a geek for that stuff, for that old stuff.
I would love just to have been able to, like, discover, you know, like, go out in the field and be an archaeologist and discover a tomb and, you know, in Egypt or anything. Or like, I've always wanted to be the one in the backyard where you're digging and all of a sudden, you know, dink, and it's like you uncover, you know, or you move the dirt away and there's like a fossil there or something, or who knows, you know, like you really don't know what's underneath the ground. I'm assuming most of that's gone and been discovered, but wouldn't that be neat? Like just to be.
Yes and no, though. I mean, where was it? Over, is it Italy or someplace where construction workers found this unbelievable tomb and things, and it's like people are still uncovering stuff.
Yes. I was going to say, with the places we choose to live today, people chose to live long before us, and they've left evidence behind. So especially here in Wisconsin, we've had occupation for thousands of years, and things are left behind.
Have you ever been a part of, like, you know, something being found where they call you up and like, hey, get out of here?
No, I didn't take the archaeology route. I've worked with a lot of archaeologists, but I didn't have to go on dig sites.
So. I would love to do that where they got the sifter and stuff. You know, I still think along the Fox River, it'd be amazing what's under the ground there. Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Where the first settlers were?
Yeah, absolutely. And even just in Oshkosh at, Menominee?
Menominee Park.
We had somebody on talking about that.
Yeah, they found the American Indian remains.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? Yep.
Oh, that's cool stuff.
Sacred sites.
Good stuff. Beth Kowalski, who has the job that I want. You want to switch for a week?
We can.
Trust me on this. Do you have to take my word? Nothing would disappear from that storage area.
Keep him out.
Yeah, just saying. Beth, you're awesome and your place is awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Neville Public Museum, extended hours, ongoing events. Check it out. Back with Vanessa Moran right after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The art of negotiation, something that farmers should not forget if they're being approached for solar energy projects. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. A farmer from Nebraska sharing his insights with Wisconsin farmers. That's up next.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Graham Christensen is a farmer himself in Nebraska. He also happens to be president of a solar energy systems company. He thinks renewable energy is a great idea and very important for the future, but he says when it comes to farms being approached about committing their valuable farmland to these solar projects, he thinks it's important that you negotiate a little bit.
Regarding solar energy, it's a little different story. It takes up, like you said, a whole bunch more land. So back home in our county, we're asking the companies to make sure they restore the prairie, put vegetation in the solar system. So then if we're taking out the farmland and we're using that land to produce this clean energy that meets the demand of locals, we're also going to have a grass-based prairie system in place. And that is going to allow this to stop erosion, to restore habitat, for more wildlife habitat.
Graham Christensen, he is a farmer himself in Nebraska. He's also president of a solar energy systems company. He encourages anybody that is negotiating with renewable energy companies to be careful. He said they've seen where companies will get the lease on land and let that lease ride for years, then try to get access to minerals on that ground. He says he just wants to make sure farmers are not taken advantage of. Christensen was in Wisconsin for a meeting with the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
Oh, and from all of us here at the Midwest Farm Report, happy National Ag Day. Find out more about that event at agday.org. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We are tracking a winter storm system that will bring rain tonight through tomorrow. The rain will change to snow tomorrow night, and that could give us 2 to 3, maybe up to 4 inches of accumulation by Thursday morning. Today, though, partly to mostly cloudy, overall mostly cloudy, with a high right around 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Todd Albaugh Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. I mean, it's just all over the world. I mean,
you have to remember Margaret Thatcher, they had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Up North News creator and editor Christina Laurie. Then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins the show to discuss the NCAA tournament. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
And the state has seen 68 wildfires in just the past week, burning 937 acres and counting. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more on the biggest blaze in the state, which is in neighboring Green Lake County.
In the town of Seneca, the Big Island Fire has burned an estimated 745 acres. Crews were dispatched to the White River Marsh State Wildlife Area right around 4:30 in the afternoon. This is exactly when the winds were gusting up to 40 miles per hour, helping spread the fire, which is currently being held on the south side of County Road D. Two residents have been evacuated, with six structures threatened. The Wisconsin DNR also says that there have been no injuries and that the fire is under investigation. No DNR or private approved prescribed burn was in the area at the start of the fire.
When the NFL Draft 2025 comes to the Green Bay area, it will bring hundreds of thousands of visitors. It will result in road closures, and it will also affect when garbage is collected. The Green Bay Public Works announced changes into the garbage and recycling collection from April 21st through the 25th. Garbage normally collected on Thursdays will be collected on Monday, April 21st. Garbage normally collected on Friday will be collected on Tuesday, April 22nd. There will be no change to Wednesday collection. Normal Monday routes will be collected on Thursday, the 24th, and Tuesday routes will be collected on Friday, April 25th. A psychiatric evaluation has been ordered for 19-year-old Caden Stakowitz of Menasha after he pleaded not guilty and not guilty because of mental disease or defect Monday on charges that he set fire to U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman's Fond du Lac office in January. If Stakowitz goes to trial with the not guilty because of mental disease plea, the jury would first determine if he's guilty. And then if he is, a second phase of the trial would determine if he suffers from mental disease. Stakowitz's next appearance in court will be a status conference May 12th. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Wow, that was interesting having Beth Kowalski. But you got to tell this story. So we were just talking in the downtown here and during the break about museums. We're both big fans of museums.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'd love to go to the Holocaust Museum. I'd like to take my son down there this summer or something like that. And the D-Day Museum, whatever. I love museums. But tell the story you just told of the lady that you met that's a Holocaust survivor at the museum.
Yeah.
This is, it just gave me goosebumps.
So at the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., was there a few years ago, brought the kids, really moving experience. I had been there before, but it was the first time bringing them. And it was one of my favorite parts about the entire thing. Obviously, the exhibits are incredibly moving, very hard to be a part of, to walk through. But they let us know that there were two Holocaust survivors that were actually at the museum, and they were just sitting at a little special table, and anyone could come and walk up and talk to them. And both of my children went and sat face to face across this table from these two incredibly amazing survivors. And while they were, the woman was talking and sharing about the day she was rescued and how it was the most amazing day of her life, and that the dignity that she felt thanks to this American soldier who had saved her, he had opened the door for her in their brief interaction. And she was talking about how much that made her feel alive again and dignified again. And she ended the story with, "And he has been holding the door for me every day for the last 50 years." She married him. They got married. Yeah. It was just amazing.
Wow. I'm freaking tearing up. Oh, don't do that to me. Oh, yeah.
It was Did my you daughter. Say you cried?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I cried. Yeah.
What a great story. Yeah.
He's been holding the door every day. That's every incredible. Day for me for 50 years.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome.
Just beautiful.
I got to go. Hey, let's talk about something that you, and again, reintroduce yourself.
Yeah.
Vanessa Moran, Tell a little bit about yourself and what you do.
We've already lovingly redubbed the show as Mino and Moran.
Exactly.
So there you go. So sorry, Jim. You can take that helicopter back home. after that incident on the shuffleboard, you know, next time don't put anyone in a headlock. All right. So,
yes.
So if he's in a jumpsuit a little bit longer, rather than his knee highs, I'll be here to help out. But my first time ever walking in the studio was because of Feed My Starving Children. We were getting ready for our
mobile
pack.
How did we even connect along? Did you contact us? Did Todd contact you?
I don't remember. I'm not sure.
I want to say that one day I was just walking by and you said, hey, get on in here.
That might be
and
it.
And that was it.
Wouldn't that be the first time that happened.
Yeah, no kidding. Like especially in the early days.
we were begging people off the street to come in.
That really may have been the way it happened. But with that said, we're going to make that. That's going to be the story now.
Okay.
I was walking right by these windows here, and you said, get on in here. And I said, all right, let's talk. So I've been a part of Feed My Starving Children now for the last 8 years. My involvement started with them because I actually brought my students on a field trip. So the organization is amazing in terms of a lot of things they do. But one of my favorite things is kids as young as 5 can volunteer. Well, I was a 3rd and 4th grade teacher, wanted to provide the kids with a really unique opportunity to make a difference. Kids making a difference in the lives of other kids, and brought them to volunteer. And honestly, I just made a quick little YouTube video, some photos, some images for the kids and for the families, threw it up on YouTube. And one day, someone from the board saw it, and they invited me in for a meeting. And at the end of the meeting, they said, why don't you just stay?
Wow.
And
that's cool.
So,
how many kids? Okay, so Jim and I came that one night at
Green Bay Community Church in Howard.
Yep. And we helped package the stuff. I mean, it's quite the assembly line process.
It really is. So we have no machinery.
No, it's all hands-on. We, the
volunteers, are the human machines.
Right.
So there's no overhead for this giant, these packaging material.
How many people do you think were there that night?
Oh, that one was about a 300 freshman pack. Yeah.
I mean, it's really something.
350 people.
It's something to see what you guys get. And that was only one night. How many of those nights did you have?
We had 14 sessions. So some occur during the day, some occur during the night. There are 2-hour pack sessions. In one of them, we packed over 100,000 meals. That wasn't the night you were there. You may have been slowing us down a bit.
I know I did.
But we pack about 70,000 meals per session. So,
That's incredible.
Those all get distributed all around the world. So, Feed My
Starving
Children.
How many kids did you feed this year?
Oh, goodness.
Your organization.
That's a great question. We packed about, I think, over 500,000 meals. But we're going for 750,000 next year. So,
that's incredible. Wow. And again, some of the ways you guys, like, we got a big bag of tin cans here, of aluminum cans for you. That is one of your big fundraisers, isn't it?
Anything and everything is one of our big fundraisers. We do booyah sales. We have singers. We have...
You're at the Rockers game?
We're at the Rockers game.
You're at Cheese Curd Nick?
Honestly, it's any... Because it only takes 29 cents to make one of the meals.
So really, okay, you said each can is 5. So 6 cans is a meal.
For a child.
Kid. Yeah.
And the sad, sad reality is 6,200 children die every day due to hunger-related causes.
That's mind-boggling.
I can't even fathom it. I think about, you know, the elementary school I worked in. That'd be the entire population, every child in that school dying tomorrow times 10.
That'd be my hometown. It used to be 6,000 people like that. It'd be like my town dying every day
from starvation. It's unfathomable. So... And that's just children. That doesn't include adults. It's 18 and younger. So I have a hard time comprehending that number, to be honest.
Yeah.
But what I do know is we can do something about it. And just like when we had that gentleman here earlier this morning, Farmer Dan, and there isn't a food production issue. It's a food distribution issue. So how do we get it to some... This food goes to some of the most remote areas in the entire world.
I will say that I was reading... I'm trying to think whose book I read. It was an athlete, pro athlete. And they went to, I can't even tell you which country in Africa, okay? Yeah. And it was that same thing. Oh, I know, Donald Driver. It was Donald Driver's
book.
Really? Yeah. And it was talking about the same thing. Like, they really wanted to help, but there were, these little kids, like this one little girl, beautiful little girl, big smile, and she'd walk, like, 5 miles a day to get like a jug of water and walk back.
Yep.
And it was like so overwhelming almost. It's like, wow.
Days and days to get to these remote locations.
Yeah.
And then, honestly, a lot of the food, it goes to those remote locations, but it also goes and like honestly becomes part of the food nutrition programs for these schools. these schools that are all over in these small towns all over these remote, you know, parts of the country, you know, in Africa.
Does any of it stay in the United States?
No. This
okay.
All
it all
shipped.
Goes to all, Africa?
Yeah. No. Over the world. So okay. A lot of it went to Ukraine a couple years ago.
Okay.
A lot of it did. Because all you need is a boiling pot of water.
That's right.
That's it. And it the four ingredients are specially designed to fight malnutrition. So between the vegetables, the soy, the rice, it's important that those ingredients are together. It helps. And
a lot of protein, I imagine.
Yeah,
huh?
Very, very specifically designed to help these kiddos out.
Now, have you ever met any of the actual kids? No?
So one of my goals, one of my life goals is to go on one of the mission trips.
I'll bet.
They're dangerous. You know, they can be dangerous. But it's one of the things I want to do so badly. And someday I will. I want to go deliver these.
Well, those areas are so dangerous, though, because like, they're talking about tribal, you know, fighting and warfare, basically, amongst the different things that... You know, you just never know where you're going to go try and deliver this stuff.
So I don't know what, you know, obviously it doesn't matter what anyone or everyone believes, but we are a Christian organization, so we pray over the meals, and we believe that that is something that helps get them. 99% of the meals get to where they're supposed to go, which is
that's awesome.
Unheard of when it comes to distribution, because it can
phenomenal.
Be, bad things can happen. But 99% of our meals get to where, and we that's one of the things it's optional, totally optional. You do not have to be of any certain faith. We have 10 churches that all actually come together and plan this, from Catholic to Lutheran to non-denominational. It doesn't matter, people that come to, it does not matter. We want you there just to help and make a difference. And there's so many ways you can do that, from donating to actually being there and working. We joke, but I think it's true. It's the most fun you'll ever have.
Oh, absolutely. And it's cool.
It's loud.
Just to watch
exciting.
It in action. I mean,
fast.
Basically, when you fire that starter's pistol, it's like, boom, game on.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's 2 hours of fun.
And it would be fantastic for different organizations, like when you're going to be doing those again, to get involved.
We would love to see businesses sponsor a pack
or
come in and
all these different groups.
Yeah, bring in a group. You
got a texter. I volunteered one of the highest nights. I think everybody should volunteer at least once. Coach Kathy,
I was there too. It was 101,000 meals in 2 hours.
Wow.
It was a record for our pack. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we want to see you back there, Kathy.
And then it's, you know, you get so many of these kids. I mean, it was loaded with kids there that night. What a great way for them to understand about, you know, the paying forward.
It honestly.
Versus, like I said, I did in high school where I paid backwards.
We're trying to instill different kind of values in our kiddos nowadays.
Feed our starving senior football player.
We don't prescribe to that. But no, we have a lot of exciting
things. You saw
things.
My picture, Todd. I was skinny.
You was skinny.
I needed
what
some,
happened?
Yeah, but that hair, right?
Wow.
Hey, look at me. I'm all poofy.
My gosh, Todd.
I'm telling you, up until that point, I thought you were shooing for like any guest hosting
now
spot.
Now I know where that bottle of vodka was half open when I came in. Wow.
No, that was an amazing picture. I like the little mustache.
All right.
No, it was foundational. That 2 hour pack session set us up that entire school year of just remember this.
Amazing.
Let's talk
folks,
about this.
I had never heard of it before.
Yeah.
Okay. It is an amazing entity. And the energy you guys put into that and the amount of kids you feed by doing it is incredible. And what I'd like to tell people out there, I mean, if we can get a collection station, I know you do have one, but don't throw your soda cans and your
please.
Bud Light cans
start
away.
Start keeping them right now.
That's the lifeblood of you guys.
Start keeping them right now.
Yeah.
We have, starting in June, July, and August, the donations will go to us. It's right in Howard. Just keep your can. I mean, I will come to your house and pick them up. Like, it is really that important.
Five cans feeds a kid. Five cans could feed a little kid that would not be eating that day.
If you are drinking soda, please just put them in a different bag. Just set them aside. It's bring them here. Hey, we have a new donation site. No.
Yeah, Todd's going to take
care
of that.
Todd is like, uh-uh. Did hey, you see Todd, how
thank you.
We have
hey,
here?
Thank you.
Hey, when Jim gets back. Hey, Jim, how did everything go? Good. Hey, by the way, we put you in charge of a new thing. Oh, good. I want to be more in charge. Yeah, it's the can collection people are going to drop off here for feed our starving children.
You know, I will tell you, beer cans get stinky.
That's right. Do they need to be washed?
No, they don't. But
okay.
I would
even
say
even washed out a little bit wouldn't
even,
be the
washed
worst
out a little.
Thing
please just make sure they're empty, because like I'm the one that goes and I'll
throw
them. Not just me alone. There's a team and there's a great group. But I shouldn't say that. I have been there when I've seen them. I'm taking credit for more than I should. It can smell.
Okay, let me just tell you something. I would be willing to do this for you. I'd take that bunch up to Menominee, see if we can get double the price.
I'll think about it.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Hi friends, it's Kim from Vintage Roast Bakery and Sandwich Shop. We offer from scratch baked goods and specialty drinks, full breakfast and lunch menus with online ordering, dining area, and a drive-up, and catering. At Vintage Roast, we insist on using the freshest, highest quality ingredients, and our breads are made and baked right here daily in-house. We're easy to find, just off the Schering Road exit in West De Pere, and we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 6 a.m. until 2 p.m. Check us out at VintageRoastBakery.com. We sure would love to see you.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Sturgeon Spirits in Oshkosh, Timekeeper Distillery in Green Bay and Wausau, and Ledge Rock Distillery LLC in Eden. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
National Agriculture Week is here. Let's take a moment to bring attention to and celebrate the important role agriculture plays in our daily lives and that our Wisconsin farms play in feeding communities throughout the United States. This message made possible by local American Family Insurance agent Kyle Lang, offering home, farmland, auto, and life insurance. Visit KyleLangAgency.com to request a quote. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance agent Kyle Lang.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Entertain ourselves, still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter, buy a bigger house and live in the suburb.
Hey, welcome back. That song has really gotten a rebirth ever since
Luke Combs
did it, right? Yeah.
I like it.
I ran across the video of, I don't know if it was the Country Music Awards or the Grammys that year they both performed.
Yeah.
Not a dry eye in the house.
Really?
But you know, also good. After hearing him, and it was a big hit for him, but after hearing her again when he hadn't heard this, wow.
Yeah, she's awesome.
How was that her only hit? Wasn't
She had a couple of other ones.
Did she?
Yep. Okay. Give Me One Reason was another song.
Oh, that's
right.
But
she's just a fantastic songwriter. And again, I think she kind of went by the wayside. Somebody said that the last time she performed in front of anybody was actually on the David Letterman show. And he actually.
Oh, my God. That's far back?
That's over 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was the first time that she did anything for a while.
Well, you realize just what a great voice she had, huh?
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more. You had something else you want to talk about. A big event coming up. I got another text here, by the way. Our church packs meals every year. I encourage everybody to come pack at least once. You'll want to come back every single year. Rob in Green Bay.
Oh, thank you, Rob. Yeah, truly, you will. It's something that you'll never forget. It's incredibly moving. Yeah. We talk about where the food goes. We let you know in real time how many meals are packed.
And you know what else, though? It really opens your eyes to how important this is and how desperate some people are
and how
to
lucky
survive.
We are.
And how lucky we are
truly
to be involved with this.
Yeah.
I agree. So go ahead, tell about another big fundraiser.
Okay, so we're packing. We're coming up to our next pack. It'll be in October. We actually just had our first board meeting last Monday. It's a year-round effort.
Oh, I can
believe it. So for the entire year, we are truly planning, gearing up, and really raising the money. So it will take over $200,000 to pack these meals, because what happens is we have to pay for the raw food ingredients.
Right.
So Feed My Starving Children, they have massive warehouses and a couple of places around the country. We have to pay for the raw food ingredients. They bring them to us on these massive semi trucks, and then we go ahead and pack them.
And I just want to make sure about one thing, because when we first talked about this, people got a little bit confused with the Feeding America.
Feeding America,
okay.
Feed My Starving Children.
Which is a great organization.
They are.
Fantastic.
I volunteered with them, too.
But let's just differentiate.
So Feeding America, you'll see the big warehouse that's along Highway 41 when you're going toward Appleton. That is a food bank. So when there's extra food, say there's extra food or cereal from Kellogg's or whatever the case, you know, that goes there. So I have volunteered there. It's somewhat similar. It's not as massive. It's a massive facility, but you're not going to see hundreds of volunteers all at, you know, one time. One day.
It's more of a big warehouse.
It's more of a big warehouse. My daughter and I once, and you have to be older. You can't be, you know, 5 years old. You have to be, I think there's an age limit of 11 or 12. We packed Fruit Loops into plastic bags. You will not know how much sugar powder comes off of Fruit Loops. Until you pack it for 2 hours straight, we walked out looking like snowmen.
I believe
like
it.
Just, it was wild. So this is a different, and that also stays domestic.
Right.
This goes international.
Exactly.
So that's important for some people. You know that's important to them. You know what? And we totally understand and appreciate that. So, but we're looking to pack 750,000 meals in October of 2025. Fundraising efforts start now. And so one of the things I wanted to talk about was the Green Bay Blizzards right here.
They're great.
They're phenomenal. But they're also, they do a lot of things for the community. And one thing they're doing for us is there is a Blizzards game coming up on April 6th, which is a Sunday. It's at 3:05, and it's called their Faith and Family Day. And if you sign up through a link, I'll give it to you. We'll put it on our Facebook page. If you sign up using a link or the QR code that we've been provided, $5 of every single ticket goes directly to our mobile pack.
$5. You want me to take care of the QR code?
You get the QR code.
You know what?
Code.
I'm gonna give this to Todd, and I'm not gonna let you anywhere near this.
He's got so much going on. He just want to take one thing off his plate.
You know? Do you know what a QR code is?
Yeah. Boy, does he ever?
Right. Does he ever? So no, we're so excited. So mark your calendars right now. Sunday, April 6th, 3:05.
$5 for every ticket
is a lot. Huge. If we can get 100 people there, even that's $500. I mean, we want as obviously, it's a much bigger stadium than that, and we'd love to see more people there. But this is a QR code.
Mm-hmm.
So in case you don't understand, you use your phone to skip. I'll skip that part.
Okay.
So anyway, we're thrilled. We're just thrilled. And we can't thank the Blizzards enough. So, and we'll have tons of other fundraising efforts, but this is the one I definitely wanted to make sure to point out today.
We will make sure you keep us informed of that. We'll make sure we have somebody from the Blizzards on, from the Blizzard on that
That
week.
Would be amazing. Yes.
But I still
get
say,
to that
folks,
game.
For your organizations, like I said, I just throw Optimists or Elks or whomever clubs, if they want a great event to take part of for community service, that is truly spectacular.
Well, even companies, make it a team. Lamar came and brought an entire team. We had a dental office that they happened to be, I think they closed early on Wednesdays. They brought their entire team. Like, you will build camaraderie.
Why are you giving me a weird look?
Dental offices. I know that. I know.
Yeah.
I just thought there was going to be a story.
No stories there. Mm. All right. We'll get one during the break. We can always hear them again.
Yeah.
So come join us April 6th and then just watch for all the neat things coming up.
Then you guys will be at the Rockers probably this year?
We're going to be at the Rockers again doing 50-50 raffles, ticket sale, everything and anything you can imagine. We'll do. We'll host a concert. John Kelly and Friends did a big concert for us.
Talk about them.
Oh, my goodness. So last year, could not believe this, we raised almost $20,000 in one night because of donations from that event. It was something like $17,500. I could not believe it.
And it's from their concert?
From their concert alone. It was held at St. Matthew's Church. It was in September.
And you raised $20,000?
In one night. We
had amazing
pizza and a bake sale and John Kelly and Friends singing.
That's incredible.
I mean, I am so impressed by the generosity and the folks that are just willing to come and say, you know what, I'll sing, I'll do this, I'll
That's
do this,
phenomenal.
I'll collect cans, I'll bring cans, I'll do whatever. And it's an effort, I will tell you that. And it's a very eclectic effort. We raise money any possible way we can. That's legal. Black and white.
Yeah, I always have to throw
breaking
that
the
in.
Law. Yes, because I'm afraid you're going to drive up to Michigan for me one of these days and get yourself in trouble.
I'm trying.
I can
double your profits.
Listen, listeners, I'm trying to keep him on the air, okay? That's what I'm trying to do here.
Somebody from Menominee, Michigan, let me know. Do people do that? Do people from Wisconsin bring in their cans so they can get double the amount?
Someone else refute this. Refute this and
I'm
keep him
you.
In this studio.
Well, you know what? Sounds like Vanessa doesn't want the kids to eat. That's what I'm getting out of this. Back after
all
this. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Hopefully your St. Patrick's headache has gone away. We'll be discussing top broadband officials exiting the U.S. Department of Commerce, what it means for broadband in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This National Ag Week, we salute the men and women of agriculture. Quality Roasting would like to thank everyone involved in farming for their hard work and dedication helping to feed America. With flexible feeding options, Quality Roasting is here to help you explore how high oleic soybeans can fit into your farm strategy and make an impact. Quality Roasting, a local soybean processor since 1991. Call today, 920-775-9279, to sell your soybeans.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Israel pounding Gaza with more airstrikes overnight, signaling an end to the ceasefire. ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz has more.
The tenuous ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, over. Israel launching a wave of deadly airstrikes across the Gaza Strip, lighting up Gaza just after 2:30 a.m. local time, in the largest assault on Hamas targets since the ceasefire took effect nearly 2 months ago.
The Hamas-run Gaza Health Agency says more than 400 people have been killed. This morning, President Trump will hold talks with Russian President Vladimir Putin by phone on the ceasefire that Ukraine has agreed to. Ukrainian President Zelensky says he is convinced Putin is simply paying lip service to President Trump as Russian forces continue pounding his country. Red flag fire warnings up in effect from Texas through Nebraska. This is ABC News.